Episode of the Daft on Draft podcast. I'm your co-host Corey Kinnon alongside Dalton Miller. Today we are going to dive back into another edition of Daft or Draft. So we crowdsourced our Discord channels. Again, if you want access to my Discord channel, just become a free subscriber to the Substack. Don't need to be paid, just be a free subscriber to the Substack. There are some locked channels that you won't see, but and you can participate in this kind of stuff. But so we crowdsourced, we got three good ones, and we're gonna have one fun one like we did last time as well. So we're going to dive right into that. But before we do, Dalton, welcome back in. Happy 6:21 a.m.
5:21.
But 5:21 a.m. Oh, geez. Yeah, that's real early. And it's 12:21 a.m. for me here. So, yeah, welcome back in.
Happy to be here as always. I got my coffee in the morning here. I had a cup of decaf earlier. I'm drinking my water. I'm going to get ready for the gym right after this. We are going to have a day. I've been up since 3:30. My son is having a little bit of a rough time, but that's okay. We're just going to get right into this Daft or Draft episode because I'm really excited about it. And like I said, I really need to start getting ready for the gym here soon. So let's go.
All right. Well, let's dive right in then. So again, how this works, we pitch three hot takes and we say whether or not we're dafting it, selling it, or drafting it, buying it. So first one, Dalton, let's talk about some Notre Dame wide receivers.
Yeah, and I want to bring up, we're also going to do that fun one. We're going to do the fun one third because the actual fun one is fourth, in my opinion, like okay. the most fun one. And I want people to stay around for that fourth one, but they're going to have to get through the food talk. And this food talk is going to be hot. Yeah, so I need y'all to know that. But let's get to the first one here.
Yeah, let's get in. Dafter draft. Virginia transfer Malachi Fields is the better Notre Dame wide receiver NFL draft prospect.
So I watched both of these guys yesterday as we are doing our series on the teams, and Notre Dame was number two to end the year. And no, I'm going to daft this. I'm going to daft this hard. And honestly, it's not that I don't like Malachi Fields, because I actually do like Malachi Fields. What he reminds me of is a less juicy version of Trey Harris. He's got more length than Trey Harris. I really like a lot of what he does, and I actually think that he's a pretty decent route runner overall. My problem is he reminds me of the wide receiver from North Carolina State who was bigger.
Uh-huh.
You remember his name.
Was Kelvin it Cage? Harmon.
Kelvin Harmon. He reminds me of Kelvin Harmon. Like somebody who I really do truly believe, or like for me, a Marcel Aitman, somebody who I think is a really good football player, but I don't know if they have the requisite juice to actually threaten NFL corners. And I don't know if he's big and physical enough to overcome that. Like the difference between somebody like a Mike Evans or a T. Higgins or some of these longer guys who aren't as explosive is they use their frames really well. They go out and they get the ball really well. And these are things that he's a little bit inconsistent with. And then he just flat out does not have the vertical juice to threaten at all. At least on tape. I mean, he might go out and run a 4.4. I have no idea. But he does not look fast on tape. The other thing that really concerns me with him specifically is, my gosh, after a play or two in a series, that dude is running at half speed. And it's not because he's not trying. The dude is just dead. That dude needs to work his conditioning. Just flat out. That's the one major thing that I saw. And part of it might be because, like, in the games I was watching, he was targeted like 17 times and 12 times. So, like, he is doing a lot of work. But man, you should not be a wide receiver and be struggling with your conditioning that much.
Yeah, I'm going to adapt this as well.
Do you want to talk about the greatness of Great House?
That's exactly what I was going to go, though.
Negatively, because I just talked negatively about Field there.
I was going to talk about it from the opposite perspective and just
yeah,
how awesome Great House was down the end of the stretch of the season. Now, would I love to see that more consistently? Like his production, would I have loved to have seen it stretched further than those last 2 weeks of the season, more or less? Yeah. But when we're doing summer scouting, I want to watch the most recent sample size. Like your most recent games, because I feel like that's the player you are going into the summer. His last two games were his best two games. He's twitched up. He's explosive. Easy mover. Easy separator.
Can I
he's
point
got a
out
decent frame, he, too, to add some
yeah, I was gonna say, can I
well.
Point out that he's listed on PFF, at least, at 6'1", 215.
Mm-hmm. And, like, pretty slim. So he can still add to that, I think, too. So, he plays through contact well. He stacks well. He does like the little fine things well when he's tracking a football. Like Jaden Greathouse, of all the receivers I've watched, is my favorite so far. And granted, I haven't watched that many wide receivers, but we have talked about Carnell Tate now, and we've talked about Jaden Greathouse. And for me, Greathouse is better than Carnell Tate on tape. And I don't think it's particularly close based on what I watched.
Yes.
Greathouse awesome. Greathouse is awesome.
That post catch against Ohio State was nuts.
Mm-hmm.
Nuts. The contact balance to the vision to the wiggle. I texted you wiggle, wiggle, wiggle.
Yep. Sure did.
To me, and I wrote this down in my notes, I just wrote down supercharged Xavier Restrepo as a wide receiver. Somebody who I truly believe right now in the NFL level, he could be a chain mover. Like a Cole Beasley type third down chain mover. Mm-hmm. Because he has that, he has more physicality than Cole Beasley does and ever would be just because of the size and physical difference between the two. But he is so smooth and he gears down perfectly. He is a really manipulative at the top of his routes. And on top of that, he is a true, and this is why I talk about him being a supercharged version of Xavier Restrepo. He's a legit three-level threat because mm-hmm. they run him on deep overs, and he is consistently beating dudes. And he's not beating dudes at Texas Poly. Like, he was doing this against Ohio State, and he was doing this in the playoffs mm-hmm. against Penn. Like, this dude has the juice. This dude has the wiggle. This dude has the nuance. He is a good football player. Like you said, you just want to see it more.
I also am curious as to why his slot percentage went from 40% in 2023 to 95% in 94% in 2020.
Yeah, I mean, we see this a lot in college. You get your best players as close to the ball as possible, yeah. especially when
Riley
you don't have
Leonard
a quarterback. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Like Faison is much smaller, but plays on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote it down. I said I think that he has outside in or inside out versatility, but I think that he could very easily play X or Z at the next level.
Mm-hmm.
Most likely Z, but
Z, yeah.
But I mean, if he's the best player, keep him in the slot. Have him play the CD role. Let's go.
Yeah, love it, love it. Let's move on. Next after draft, Dalton, draft or draft a G5 player. Let's change this one up. A player below a P4 level will not be drafted in the first round of the 2026 NFL draft. And I say that because North Dakota State has a lot of top 50 players and they are not a G5 school. So a sub P4 player will not be drafted in the first round of the 2026 NFL draft.
Draft. I'm going to draft it. Mm-hmm. I think with the transfer rules now mm-hmm. at this point, a lot of guys are getting poached to bigger schools for very good reason. And I just think that that's going to continue at this point. The days of the Ash and JNTs are, and Quinyon Mitchell's, like, they're going to go yeah. at some point. Those dudes, for the most part, are going to get snatched up and paid at the college level by, even if they want to stay where they're at, even if they love it, $2 million is
life-changing money.
Is life-changing money.
Immediate security. Yeah.
Yeah. For at least for a little while.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I will draft this, because when you look at the current landscape, and obviously we will get like breakout guys, but yeah, I'm going to draft this.
I think so too.
Go through the history if you have the history.
Yeah. Up. So 2025, there were two drafted this year, this past year, Ashton Jeancey, G4 player, Boise State, and Grizz Abel, FCS player, North Dakota State. 2024, what did I say? There was one.
Quinyon
Mitchell.
2023, there were none.
The earliest sub P4 player drafted was 48th overall, and it was Cody Mount to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. It's tough to say yes to this, so I'm going to draft it too. I mean, early big boards are sometimes an indication, sometimes not, right? But like,
yeah,
I cannot name off the top of my head a G5 or FCS player that like people are like, yeah, you need to get on this guy.
Yeah.
Cause they're all at P4 schools. Isaiah World, sure, he's at Oregon. You know, like,
yeah,
it's just going to keep happening. So yeah, yeah. I'm going to drop this too.
Yeah, I would like to just bring up, not as a round one player, but as a player that I love and adore. And I had somebody ask for a cut up of him, but he's got an elite name and he is an absolute missile against the run, is Buffalo linebacker Red Murdoch. You guys go and just watch him against the run, you would think that he's Ray Lewis. It is incredible to watch. He's I don't think he's a good enough athlete to like command like high draft, but he is one of those dudes, like a, not even like a Josie Jewell, because I think he's more athletic than Josie Jewell, but like, dude is just a built linebacker, just like an old school wiggle around linebacker around the line of scrimmage, like a David Long in the NFL type of role. Oh, I loved cutting him up. He was so much fun. 235
isn't anything to scoff at either.
No, he's big. Yeah, he's big. He's got good size. Yeah. But yeah, I just wanted to bring that up. All right, let's get to the food, baby.
Yeah. So here's our fun one here, our food question. Daft or draft? Daft or draft? Chick-fil-A is not the king of chicken in the fast food industry.
Draft.
Yeah.
I'm drafting
pretty easily.
Yeah. Listen, Chick-fil-A is fantastic, for sure. The feeling that you get going to Chick-fil-A, the service that you get going to Chick-fil-A doesn't feel like fast food. You look at that line and it is around the corner and you are out of that line in 5 minutes. They are so efficient. However, that's not the environment that I go to fast food for. And the spicy chicken sandwich is not as good as Popeye's spicy chicken sandwiches. Just flat out, Popeye's is better, especially if you're going to a Popeye's in the South. Additionally, if you are looking to be more macro friendly, if you are trying to be a muscle builder, the blackened chicken tenders are an absolute cheat code at Popeye's. They are 170 calories for three of them and 26 grams of protein. For three of them, they're 43 grams of protein for five of them. And if you get them 280 calories, 43 grams of protein, and you get the mashed potatoes with it without the gravy, it is like 350 calories for chicken and mashed freaking potatoes. So if you are on the go and you are looking for a place to stop and you're trying to be healthy, F McDonald's, F all of these places. Go to Popeye's and get the chicken tenders, or I'm going to give you a wild card here. Taco Bell's chicken nuggets.
Yes.
They are insane.
And like 70 grams of protein for a 10 piece.
70 grams of protein for a 10 piece. They are actually good. And
yes.
At that point, if you want a little bit of sauce to go with it, the reason why I go with the Popeye's version is, first of all, because I love and enjoy the environment of Popeye's, but on top of that, you get the mashed potatoes with it as well. And so for me, I really do like to balance out my meals with a little bit of protein and carbohydrates. I don't usually eat just protein meals, But like, if you're just like on the go and you want to go quick and there's not a Popeyes around, there probably is a Taco Bell around. So Taco Bell for me would be number two. What I will say again is Chick-fil-A is still very, very high quality. We can keep the rest of what Chick-fil-A is outside of the food, outside of this conversation.
Yeah.
So we're not even talking about that. If you love them because of who they are, good for you. If you don't like them because of who they are, good for you. Objectively, the food is fantastic, but I prefer Popeyes.
I do too. And I prefer Popeyes because of what I loved to eat there when I was 215 pounds, 210 pounds, whatever I was. And the fried chicken is so stinking good, man. The biscuits are so stinking good. But now that I am back down to 185 pounds, I still prefer Popeyes. I will say the Chick-fil-A grilled nuggets that are the 12-piece grilled nugget.
Yeah, they're good.
200 calories and 40 grams, or 160 calories and 40 grams of protein or something like that. 180 calories, something. It's pretty good.
Are they really? Hold on. Let me look this up.
Yeah. A grilled nugget, 12-piece. And then the thing to do with that as well, if you have a little extra calories in your budget, is to get the Kale Crunch salad, throw out the almonds, and then break up those 12-piece nuggets, throw them in that Kale Crunch salad with a packet of honey.
A 12-piece is 38 grams of protein and 200 calories.
Yeah. Break them up, put them in the Kale Crunch salad with a packet of honey, shake it up. You got yourself a nice little
chicken salad. Actually, that's a really good idea.
It's pretty good. Here's what I appreciate about Chick-fil-A is that when I can splurge a little bit on my caloric budget, the frosted coffee, which is just like their soft serve ice cream, like, and coffee mixed into a drink, is only like 250 calories. So it's like, you can get a nice little treat without breaking it. Or the kids' meal, you can get a dream cup, like the little cup of ice cream instead of a toy. And their toys are like worthless, especially when you have a 3-year-old and an 18-month-old. Like, what does a toy do for them from a fast food restaurant? And I would take those dream cups around like 180 calories, I think, and then take some PB Fit, mix it with like Fairlife chocolate
PB Fit.
Mix it with like some Fairlife chocolate and make a chocolate Fairlife peanut butter drizzle on top of that bad boy. Mm. And so I would do that too for like 240
peanut butter
calories.
Peanut butter powder is such a freaking cheat code. Once you figure out the water to peanut butter powder ratio,
it's 1-to-1 for thick. That's it.
It's 1-to-1 for thick, and that is it. A lot of people overdo it, and it gets a little bit too runny.
If you want to drizzle, it's like 1-to-1.5. Yeah.
1-to-1.5. I mix mine with whey as well, so I'll do peanut butter whey and put it on a sandwich. So it's like a chocolate peanut butter sandwich. Oh, it's so good. And I can put a little bit of chocolate syrup or a little bit of fruit. But anyways, we're getting off topic here. Popeyes is better.
Chick-fil-A is good for cutting. For cutting, Chick-fil-A is like Jersey Mike's and Chick-fil-A were the two that I would go to, were my go-tos for cutting. Jersey Mike's, Chick-fil-A.
Jersey Mike's is good. Yeah.
Yeah, because you can get bowls. You don't need the bread. Just get them in a bowl.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you're good to go.
I love the bread too. But
yeah, I know.
I'm a carb king. Let's move on to the last one.
All right. Last daft or draft here. Daft or draft, Dalton. Katron Allen, not Nick Singleton, is the better Penn State running back.
Daft.
It's daft.
And this came because college football. Well, there were a couple of running back rankings. Listen, if you want to talk about, like, from a pure production standpoint, I haven't looked at their numbers, but I actually do assume that Katron Allen might have been more productive than Nick Singleton at Penn State last year. If we're talking about NFL draft prospects, it's not even freaking close. It's not even close. Nick Singleton is the better of the two from an NFL draft perspective. And that's where we're looking at this from. I actually think that Katron Allen is a fantastic college football player. But at the end of the day, he's going to run like 4.65.
On a good day. Like a great day.
And so like the juice is just not there with Katron Allen. And it is with Nick Singleton. And he is also a fantastic pass protector. And he is also a phenomenal pass catcher. Those dudes are a great 1-2 tandem for Penn State. But at the end of the day, Singleton is far and away the better NFL draft prospect.
Oh, yeah. People were concerned about Blake Corum's long speed, and Blake Corum ran a 4.53. Catron Allen's, if he runs a 4.69, good for you, man. Like that.
I think people were wondering about Blake Corum's speed at the end of the year, just because
he had a million injuries.
Because he was playing through like 75 injuries and broken noses, and that dude was a warrior. So yeah, I think that's why people were worried. He just needed to get healthy so he could run. Catron Allen's legitimately just not fast.
No. And he can't catch a football out of the back. I mean, he can't, like, you don't target him out of the backfield. You don't look to like get him touches out of the backfield. He's a guy who wears you, like, who you want to like bring in to wear down a defense. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But that only goes
he's
so
the
far.
Thunder to somebody else's lightning. Yeah.
But Thunder guys at the NFL level run 4.55s. Like, so I won't be shocked if Catron Allen doesn't get drafted by next year. Like, and Nick Singleton is probably going to go. I mean, Caleb Johnson went top 8 and top 85, and I thought he was a top 30 player. So
he's not, he wasn't as complete at Iowa.
That's fair. He was an outside zone,
but he was way more productive. And, yeah. So, like, you got to.
But Singleton's got it all, man. He can catch passes. He pass pro, his pass protects like a goddamn king.
And he was a 5-star.
Explosive. He's twitchy. So, like, I mean, to me, it's not close between the two running backs.
I agree.
Not even close. And Nick Singleton probably should go top 50 next year.
I don't disagree with you at all.
So that's kind of what we're sitting with, kind of what we're talking about. But Dalton, that's our four Dafter drafts right there.
I love it. In, out.
In and out. Off to the gym for you.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I got to eat the pre-workout and do all that. Yeah. Pre-workout meal and get my pre-workout motivation. And then, get ready for this push day, baby.
Love it. Love it. Love it. All right. Well, until next week, where we start diving into some Notre Dame players, this has been another solid week of the Daft on Draft podcast. Keep tuning in. Keep doing what you got to do. Again, if you want access to my Discord channel, just be a free subscriber to my Substack. That's all I'm asking. Just a free
sub. And if you want access to my Discord channel, the fitness and nutrition channel is blowing up right now. Let's continue to keep that going. But listen, I want to talk NFL draft on mine as well. And we have an NFL draft channel. And we have a couple people talking in there, but we need more people talking in there as well. And so do that. Join the Patreon. Get your all 22. Get your fitness. Let's grow together. I love it.
That's it. We'll see you next week.